B-Pod Studios.
Ready, set, go!
This is Checkpoint XP Daily, your daily dose of esports and video game discussion. A complete look at all things esports and gaming. A production of Beasley Esports XP. Here are your hosts, Nate Bender, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan.
Checkpoint reached.
Hey, welcome to Checkpoint XP Daily for Wednesday, January 16th, 2019, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on the Talk of Las Vegas, 101.5 FM and 720 AM, as well as KJR 950 in Seattle, Washington. Coming up today on Checkpoint XP Daily, we reached out to our social media followers and asked them what the next release they're looking forward to is. Plus, we'll sit down with Karma, a professional Rocket League player and commentator with Splice Gaming. Those conversations are ahead today on Checkpoint XP Daily. So, video games are normally a very narrative-driven experience, but what happens when developers tell players to develop their own lore? Early online games embrace this player-created history, but it looks like that trend may be coming back into style.
Yeah, and one of the games that I think we're seeing this with big time right now that is out is Fallout 76.
Yes.
I mean, not only are they saying, you guys kind of develop the lore, they're also saying, you guys kind of develop where the game goes.
Yeah, and I think that this is a really interesting track for Bethesda to take. And to just kind of expand on this, you know, there are two very distinct factions that players are starting to fall into, and that is the hackers, the dupers, or let's call them the raiders.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got the people, the anti-hackers, the people who are checking for dupers, and harassing people that they think are dupers, which really come to mirror the Brotherhood of Steel.
I was about to say, yeah, so it's one of those types of things where people will inherently stratify themselves.
Yes.
That is human nature.
Right.
So even if you don't put a natural apparatus in there where there's like a player morality meter.
Or like actual factions that you can join. Right.
People will do it themselves.
Yeah.
Anyway, simply because that's human nature to do it.
Well, and I think that that's one of the more interesting aspects of Fallout 76. Specifically right now is, yeah, while you don't have things like guilds or factions that you can join that would normally funnel players that would be interested in this sort of play into those factions, you're just letting it kind of naturally fall in one camp or another, and it's more falling around the meta of the game, right? Like, it has to do with whether or not these people are exploiting or playing the game as intended. And I think that that is a really fascinating sort of meta narrative that's going on here as well, that if you wanted to, if I was Bethesda, I would be very quickly trying to turn that into an actual narrative so that you can kind of catalog that and make history out of that.
Well, it's the same sort of thing that we've always lauded EVE Online for doing, where players are the ones creating and recording their own history. And when you have a game like Fallout, which does loosely have sort of a storyline in there, but you can chew through that content so quickly that now you're sort of left to find your own fun. And when you have, like, the dupers, as you said, that are very obviously impacting the gameplay in some way, I feel like you as a player are going to fall on one side of that or the other.
Yeah.
Whether you really thought you would or not.
Well, I mean, and just you guys walking around, you guys have, you know, formed your own basically law enforcement agency. When you go around, you see someone has a bounty on their head, you go
collect that bounty.
Meet out justice.
We're bounty hunters.
But now, hold on, because before that, we don't just walk up and kill them. We first of all, ask them what they did, you know, let them know this is what we're doing, you know, you messed up, man. So, and the thing is, if they cooperate, we let them take their junk back. So don't act like we're just out there.
I'm just saying, like, that is a role that you guys have stepped into. There is no
no reason.
Right, there was no book that you got as soon as you left the vault that said, why not try life as a bounty hunter?
Well, right, see, exactly.
The thing is that I think that's really compelling. And Robbie, you said something that was a great sort of phrase, which is like finding your own fun, right? When, you know, you're heavy into D&D, you guys have all played D&D before. I think one of the main draws of something like that is the ability to sort of craft who you are within that universe. And I think that that's something that games in their strive to become more narrative and epic and what have you did kind of get away from that. And I like us seeing making this shift back towards sort of more of a D&D true fantasy sort of of foundation, because that retains people for years.
Putting the RP back in RPG.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right. You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. I want to thank everyone listening on WEJS 1600 in Williamsport and Sports Radio 100.9 and 1070 in Madison, Wisconsin. We're currently talking about the way that newer games are starting to embrace this kind of older idea of allowing a player base to create their own lore in history. And this is something that, you know, we saw in the early days of like Ultima Online.
Totally.
Where, yeah, there was a loose canon that the world was sort of based on, and there's just a real loose story that it's based on, but there were incidents and events that were so big that they got marked in
the
history. They became canonized, and they became canonized in this game world in a way that it was, it was very meta. It was very, what this person was doing outside of the game was having impacts inside the game as well. And we see that a lot now in EVE Online. EVE has been doing that for a long time. But another game that's trying to come up on the heels of this and kind of encourage this same sort of player base is Ashes of Creation.
Yes. Yeah.
And that's where I'm going to be really interested to see how that unfolds and how that ends up.
Well, because they want to represent that not just necessarily in a tome or a text somewhere on a website. They want to represent that actually in the game.
Right. They want the world to actually reflect the lore that the players build. You know, if there's a mining town, okay, well, that's what that town is going to develop like until maybe they mine too deep and then something
a
dragon comes and takes off. They're trying to actually build their game to develop the way players try and guide it. And I think that's extraordinarily ambitious.
I do too. And I think that that takes a very keenly engaged development team to be able to do that, because you've not only got to be able to remain engaged and on the pulse of what your community wants, but then you've got to be able to deliver on what they want. And very few people actually know what they want or can articulate what they want. So they'll say one thing, but actually want something else. And I think that it's going to be a very delicate balance for Ashes of Creation and that dev team to be able to ride that line. And
but the thing
I wish the best to Intrepid, because that's going to be a difficult task I think that they're up for.
But the thing is that gameplay shines through, right? Okay, you guys are all telling us that this is what you want us to do, but the gameplay is showing us something that's either not that or completely contrary to that. So I think it's really important for them to understand that how are people actually utilizing what we've put in the world in order to build that world up and in order to sort of forward their ideas.
And that takes time. That takes, you know what, that takes time and observation.
Yeah.
That takes building something, putting it out, and letting people play with it until it either breaks so much that no one can stand it anymore, or that you end up crafting. It's like carving away at a big chunk of marble. Eventually, you're going to get to an amazing masterpiece somewhere in that marble,
or a pile of dust.
Somewhere in there, there's got to be a very specific crafting guiding hand that goes along with it.
The biggest thing, there does need to be a guiding hand, but the biggest thing needs to be you have to let those players do it for themselves.
Okay.
I agree.
What EVE has become. 10, 50, I don't know how old EVE is, but you know, back in the beginning, there's no way they saw today what EVE Online is. I don't think that type of thing is something that you can purposely make in a game. I don't know how you get there, but it does kind of have to happen
organically.
Yeah,
you're right.
Yep.
But
absolutely.
I mean, if you look at channels like Game Theory or something like that, or the success of games like Five Nights at Freddy's or Undertale, people don't necessarily want to be spoon-fed the lore. There is a lot of fun to having just bits and pieces. Dark Souls is very masterful.
Absolutely.
You're given very little of the lore, and you have to piece it together kind of from those little bits and pieces. People love that.
Absolutely. Listen, we want to hear from you. Do you enjoy being part of the world building in games that you play? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Still ahead on Checkpoint XP Daily, we had the chance to sit down with Karma. She's a professional Rocket League player and commentator for Splice Gaming. Our conversation with her will wrap up today's Checkpoint XP Daily. But ahead next, we reached out to our social media followers to find out what the next release they're looking forward to is. Stick around, we'll share our answers and get yours coming up next on Checkpoint XP Daily from Beasley Esports XP.
This is Checkpoint XP, Esports and Gaming Radio. This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
Hey, welcome back to Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on WXSM Tri-Cities, Tennessee, as well as ESPN Phoenix 620. Make sure you visit our website over at CheckpointXP.com so you can subscribe to the Checkpoint XP podcast. Robbie, what's this week on the podcast?
Another epic week-long battle went down in the most amazing MMO that none of us will ever play.
Subscribe and download free on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and the Westwood One podcast app from Westwood One Podcast. Podcast Network, everyone's listening. You can also follow us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint underscore XP on Instagram, so that you can respond to our weekly social media question. This week, we ask what the next gaming release you're looking forward to is. But before we get to your responses, I gotta know from the room, what video game releases, big or small, are you looking forward to the most this year? Starting with
Resident Evil.
Norris.
Oh, man.
By default, I guess.
Resident Evil.
Norris and I were both, like, hoping to be called first for this one because we were going to have the same answer, you jerk.
I'm just saying, dude, I played through that. First of all, I was already excited. I played through the one-shot demo. I'm even more excited. I can't wait to be creeped out by this game. I'm going full in, lights off, at night, headphones on blast. I can't wait.
You are going to be terrified, having now gotten through the demo as well. It is so well done.
It is.
I mean, for a game that was well-loved, and obviously there's going to be a high bar for players going back to it.
Sure.
I knew I was going to be critical, but even from the first trailer, I was like, this looks pretty promising. Having now seen all the improvements they've made and seen like the redesign of the police station, because the original police station was too small.
It
would never carry a full game in today's world.
Yeah.
But the things they've done to it, it still fits the tone of it. It looks really cool, and the atmosphere is spot on. I cannot wait for Resident Evil 2.
But I mean, like, Resident Evil 2 is coming out in just a few months.
Not even, right?
A couple weeks.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. No, it comes out in January.
Is there anything else throughout 2019? Because I feel like
it's
a
Cyberpunk
little...
Cyberpunk coming out this year?
Hold on. That's still a big maybe because I think they got a loan from the government, actually, that says... Like, it has rumors going that they think that it should come out this year, but nothing's actually been said.
Is Death Stranding coming out this year?
Exactly.
Exactly. It's a dice roll either way. Could happen. It could not happen. We just don't know.
I've got my fingers crossed for Bayonetta 3 this year. I think it's going to make release this year, probably in the fall season sometime.
Mm.
I'm geeked for the next Bayonetta title.
Well, Norris, what about in the fighting game?
Oh, Mortal Kombat, definitely.
Okay. All right. There we go.
Mortal Kombat 11 coming out. Definitely.
That makes sense. Robbie, how about you?
All right, so I actually have two. Norris has played both these games, too, so he can actually back me up here. Mm-hmm. The first, and I forget which studio it is a game called Control. Imagine the game that you played on Loathe, SBC Containment Breach.
Okay.
Imagine about that, but good.
Yeah. like triple A.
Oh, that's
good.
That's a little mean.
Yeah, no.
SCP is like crowdsourced and made that way.
I know, right?
Like it's an impressive game. I love SCP.
They were working with very limited tools.
But the other one is called, it's an indie game called Indivisible.
Oh, okay.
it's like platformer meets adventure game meets RPG meets fighting game.
Yeah, man.
All rolled into one, and it's seamless transition.
It's like if you took
everything.
Shantae and like Valkyrie Profile and mixed them together.
And made by the Skullgirls creators.
Oh, yep. Nice. Yeah. So you know the art's going to be top shelf.
Awesome.
That's awesome.
It's really fun to play.
So for me, I think the game that I'm most looking forward to, and I've been looking forward to it ever since I got my hands on with it at E3 and started playing through the entire series, is Metro Exodus. I cannot wait for this game. The more I see from it, the more gorgeous it looks.
That's first quarter this year. Isn't it?
Yes, it's coming out very, very soon. And I got to tell you, my recent infatuation with the Fallout series has really only made my hype for this game go up.
You've been feeling post-apocalyptic settings lately.
I don't know what it is. It's something in the air, maybe something in the social climate that's making me feel like
you want to prepare for the post-apocalypse.
I just need a bug out bag.
What's happening?
That's what I need. You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. Want to thank everyone who's actually chiming in on this question right now over at our Twitch page. You can follow us at twitch.tv/checkpointxp to get in on live responses like this. And also make sure that you follow us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint underscore XP on Instagram. So before we get to our social media responses, Sarah, what about you? What are you most looking forward to in 2019?
So I hesitate to say this answer because there's been no information about this game and it keeps getting pushed back. But as a fan of the more modern Fire Emblem series, Fire Emblem Three Houses is supposed to come out this year.
Okay.
I'm hoping.
The recent ones have kind of breathed new life into that series.
People really have enjoyed it again.
There's a lot of interest there.
Yeah.
I mean, pretty much. I will be the first to admit that I didn't play the older series. But
yeah, you started with Awakening, right?
I started with Awakening and absolutely fell in love. I even loved their remake of Shadows of Valentia, which was remade for 3DS. Absolutely adored it. Still playing through Fates because there's three of them. But I'm excited to see what they're doing with Three Houses, because so far I've been really into that series. So.
Very nice.
Yeah,
all right, well, let's check out our responses from social media.
Okay, over on Facebook, Michael shares an answer that a lot of people shared, which is that he's looking forward to Kingdom Hearts 3 release just so that I can finally be finished with the story. I find it funny that you think it's going to be done.
That's a good point. Did you guys see the headline that the prologue almost wasn't ready for day one release?
Are you kidding me?
How is that possible?
Yeah.
What has happened to Square Enix? They're pulling out the wrong system.
Oh my god.
This thought of, like, just so I can stop hearing about it, I'm looking forward to it. I'm seeing that mindset start to pervade.
Yeah, I could see that.
Also on Facebook, we have Blake that mentions Ace Combat 7.
Just today we had someone mention this, and that it's going to have a VR mode.
Yes, there's going to be a VR where you're in the cockpit.
I don't know. It may not be Ace Combat. It may be a different flying game. But it's something along those lines.
I love Ace Combat.
No, he said it was Ace Combat 7.
Was it Ace Combat? Yeah. Okay, yeah.
There were a few people that said that as their answer, too.
Like, the VR mode for a flying game seems like that is what VR was made for.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Oh, I love Ace Combat. I'd be down.
I would be down. I would check that out in a heartbeat.
Andrew over at Facebook shares what a lot of you shared, which is Resident Evil 2 Remake. However, knowing Capcom, I think I will wait for Complete Edition to get all the content like I did with Resident Evil 7.
That joke is so old. No way.
Although, that said, there was a complete edition of RE7.
Yes, it was, but
they
still,
did do that again with RE7.
Go away.
So.
Still on Facebook, Z says, Anthem, and I hope it's better than Destiny, because there's no other game that I have on my radar. I am sorry.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Get your hopes up,
well,
Playboy.
No, hold on. If by you can fly, it's better than Destiny, sure, by all means.
The only headline that I've seen from Anthem lately is that every event in Anthem has matchmaking.
Which in
2019 is not a headline.
That's not a headline.
That's a foregone conclusion.
Going over to Twitter, Brian says, as a huge fan of the Fate franchise, I'm definitely looking forward to Fate Extella Link.
All right, when did the Fate thing start taking off? Because I feel like it was like over the course of 2 months,
anime.
All of a sudden,
anime.
Everyone...
Anime.
Anime.
Really?
When anime became mainstream.
They
so
got
like
a lot of new
ago.
Animes first
long?
From the... Yeah, yeah well, first Joe. From the visual novel, and now just grown.
I think it was because of anime.
It was anime.
I guess it was because of anime. Yeah.
Over in Instagram, we have Edison that says Shenmue 3, baby.
Oh yeah, Shenmue, guys.
I forgot that that's a thing
happening this year.
Is that
right.
happening this year?
Well, is it? I don't know. That remains to be seen.
Back on Twitter, Enyo cites Borderlands 3.
Well, okay. Is that supposed to be 2019?
I don't know that we've actually got an official confirmation of it, but I think Gearbox has hinted that they've been working on it.
Okay.
Gearbox could have a lot going on this year that they might have to deal with.
That is very true, and on that note, that's where we're going to have to leave the discussion. Make sure you follow us on social media so that you can make your voice heard on next week's social media question. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint underscore XP on Instagram. Ahead next, we had the chance to sit down with Karma. She's a professional Rocket League player and commentator for Splice Gaming. Our conversation with Karma is ahead next on Checkpoint XP Daily.
This is Checkpoint XP. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at checkpointxp.com. This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
Hey, welcome back to Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on Nashville Sports Radio, WNSR 560 AM and 95.9 FM and 103.9 in Lexington, Kentucky. Make sure you visit our website at checkpointxp.com to subscribe to our growing offering of podcasts. Follow us on Twitch at twitch.tv/checkpointxp to join the show live or connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter and checkpoint_XP on Instagram. This week, we sat down with Karma, professional Rocket League player and commentator with Splice Gaming. Karma, welcome to Checkpoint XP.
Hello, thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here. So, can you give us a little bit of your background and how you came to be a part of Splice?
Well, I was a basketball player growing up, and I was considered to be a college prospect, and I ended up succumbing to a health injury that I had. I was dealing with the health issues and ended up needing to fill like my competitive fire. And I turned to games when I was like 14. Ended up playing Call of Duty, and then I switched from Call of Duty to Hearthstone, and then I switched from Hearthstone to Rocket League. That's the short version.
Wow. So you obviously enjoy Rocket League a great deal, and you're very good at it. Is that been your favorite game that you've played competitively?
Yeah, absolutely. There's no RNG, really. It's all player controlled. There's no like computer numbers determining what happens, and that's my favorite type of thing.
I feel like we hear that a lot with Hearthstone players, where at the end of the day, you're at the mercy of your deck. If your deck decides you're going to have a bad tournament, you're going to have a bad tournament.
Yep, that was what it was for me. It was so upsetting. I couldn't take it.
Yeah,
so
that was...
I'm out of here.
One of the reasons why I never got into Hearthstone as well is...
Also because you're not any good at it.
First of all, how am I supposed to get good at it when I'm like starved every single time and I'm getting like my 6 and my 7 drops all the time? It's not my fault. It's the RNG.
Clearly.
Yeah,
clearly.
Right. Okay. So let's turn our attention to the news that dropped this week that Rocket League is going cross-platform, becoming only the second game to do so. So what are your thoughts about this move to cross-platform?
Well, I'm really excited. Psyonix has been working really hard to do this for probably, I think, a year at least. And they, well, I don't want to speak to what the hiccups were, but they've been trying to do it for a while. And to have it finally come out is really good for the game, because I see what it does in Fortnite. And it's just special to be able to play with people on console who aren't PC gamers. And to be able to connect with friends no matter what they're playing on, as long as they play the game, is a huge deal.
Well, I think we know what that hiccup was. It starts with an S and ends with a Y and has four letters in it. So, but yeah, no, I think that this is a really smart move for Rocket League and Psyonix. Becoming a competitive game to do so, to become cross-platform on top of everything else. How do you see this impacting the pro scene?
That's a good question. I've never really thought about it, because most of the time, in order to be considered on a pro team, you have to be on the PC.
Right.
If you can't party with cross-platform, I mean, you can practice with them in a private match before the update, but really, you couldn't be a professional on a console, so maybe it will allow a easier path to professional for players who can only use console, and then when they get super serious, switch to PC. But as far as like playing competitive on console, it's a little tough because of the input delays, and Rocket League is such a fast-paced game that, that as much as you can reduce the input delay, the better you are.
Well, do you still think that it's a great thing for the game as a whole? Because, I mean, usually the healthier the game is in casual, the more people want to consume it and at least view it and buy, you know, buy crates, buy, you know, cars and stuff like that. So do you think it could have a impact at least on that end? Maybe we see larger prize pools, hopefully.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think that's amazing for the game. I was just talking mainly about the competitive scene, but as far as for the game, I think it's fantastic.
Yeah, that's what I was actually curious about, because obviously when the idea of crossplay comes to, you know, games like Overwatch or Call of Duty, you know, first person shooters, the idea that when you're on a mouse and keyboard, you're at a huge advantage over anyone who might be playing on a controller. And so that remains the same even with something like Rocket League.
I would say mostly a lot of the Rocket League community, at least as far as I know, is encouraged to use a controller when they play this game. Keyboard and mouse you can also play. I think it has a bit of a steeper learning curve, but I don't really see an advantage or disadvantage to whichever one you get comfortable on. So I don't really think that it would impact it negatively.
Yeah, that was something that I had noticed at the Universal Open, that most of the players were competing using controllers. And so I just think it's really interesting, you know, to just kind of turn back to the competitive competitive side, that, you know, a lot of times people feel like they're priced out of being a part of the competitive scene because, you know, gaming PCs can be very, very cost intensive. That cost has obviously come down in recent years, but they can be very cost intensive. So I do think that that's a very interesting, you know, path to the pros, you know, there. You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. We're currently speaking with Karma. She's a professional Rocket League player and commentator for Splice Gaming.
So this year at the RLCS Finals, Season 6, Cloud9 stunned the world when they won it all. I happened to be there for that event. It was an amazing scene. And I just want to know, what does a win like that do for North American Rocket League?
Personally, I was really excited for all of those guys. They've been my friends for a while. Torment was my former teammate. And just to see all the work that they put in finally pay off was amazing. And I just think it kind of showed North America that, because North America won the first one, that North America and Europe are even, despite all the talk and debate about which side's better and which region has like a stronger talent pool. And I think it just gave NA a lot of confidence that they're really close to getting to where the champions are and that the level of competition is pretty even.
I completely agree. I mean, the whole talk of the tournament the entire time I was there, then the days leading up to it, was, you know, who, you know, it's going to be an all EU final, who's going to be in the finals. And then for a North American team not only to make it, but then to win it in such shocking fashion, that crowd was utterly electric.
Now, Karma, you actually qualified for the RLCS in the promotional tournament last November. Can you tell us what that experience was like for you?
Oh, yeah. That I have really no words to describe that. I've been playing this game for a long time, and my teammates and I have put in a lot of hard work. Our coach putting in all the hard work, and Splice has also backed us for the entire way. So to have that all finally click, finally qualify for the thing that we've been dreaming of, it's, yeah, it's hard to put into words. It's an amazing feeling, for sure.
You've qualified for the RLCS now. You're going to compete this year. But to know that even after all that hard work just to get in, the work's just beginning, because now everyone you play is going to require you to play at that level or better. So what's like the mindset going into the RLCS this season?
Yeah, 100%. I told my teammates when we made it, it's time to turn it up a notch. Even though we had just been putting in more and more the entire time, it's time to put in even more time, just because a lot of the teams who get promoted don't stay in the RLCS historically. So we don't want to be part of history in that way. We want to be able to perform really well and show that we deserve to be there. And in order to do that, we just have to keep doing what we're doing times 1.5, I guess.
You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. We're currently sitting down with Karma talking about the upcoming RLCS season. She's a professional Rocket League player and commentator for Splice Gaming.
And one thing I was always curious about is that when it compares to LANs, to playing online, is that what adds to being in person against your competitor? Is that more of a thrill, or do you get more nervous and more tense when you're at a LAN?
I love it, because coming from the athlete background where we used to have people at my basketball games watching us, I love playing in front of a crowd just because it's something I'm comfortable with. I think maybe this is just me, but maybe I think it gives me an edge because I'm used to it. And people who haven't performed in front of a crowd before, maybe they're not used to it and they get nervous. And I try and maintain the same, whether I'm online or in person. And a big factor, I think, is the fact that we're on a LAN environment. So there's no ping disadvantage or advantage.
Right.
And I enjoy just the crowd being there and the commentators and hearing the cheers and the audio going off in the background, all that stuff I really enjoy.
Well, and of course, being able to see that look of defeat in your opponent's eyes when you finally crush them as well.
Oh, yeah.
If things go well for us, yes.
Well, hopefully everything will go well for you this season. Karma has been our guest here on Checkpoint XP. Make sure you follow her Twitch channel over at twitch.tv/Karma. That's K-A-R-M-A-A-H. And good luck to you this year and to all of Splice in RLCS.
Awesome. Thanks for having me, guys. It was a blast.
That's going to do it for Checkpoint XP Daily, the first internationally syndicated show on esports and gaming for radio.
Visit our website at checkpointxp.com for insight on esports and gaming, as well as our growing collection of podcasts and interviews. Join us Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. Our theme is provided by the band Weird At Last. Find more at weirdatlast.com. Checkpoint XP Daily is a production of Beasley Esports XP. Thanks to our executive producing team of Buzz Knight, Mike Thomas, and Rick Scott. Lead segment producing by Joe Sloan. Producing and booking help from Christine Solis. Big thanks to Sarah Skopik over at the Checkpoint News Desk, and of course my co-hosts who pulled double duties as producers for Checkpoint, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan. My name's Nate Bender. Keep listening.
You've been listening to Checkpoint XP, a complete look at all things esports and gaming. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at checkpointxp.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.